This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, Roger Waldron.
My guest today on Off the Shelf is Martha Johnson. Martha is the administrator for the General Services Administration. Martha, thanks for joining on Off the Shelf. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Martha, now you've just about been at GSA this time around for 2 years. You started in 2010. Reflecting back on the last 2 years, can you talk about when you came into GSA, what you saw as your biggest challenges, or what GSA's biggest challenges were from your perspective?
Yes, there were a lot of things happening at GSA when I arrived. And, of course, it was a very different place than it had been when I had left in 2000. So, first of all, I had to adjust to that. But there was no question that we were playing a major role in the Recovery Act. We had received some substantial funds to do predominantly building work, a little bit of work with our fleet, or some significant work with our fleet, but some real opportunity to upgrade our inventory and to green it, if you will. We also, I believe at that point, GSA needed to step back and reclaim its innovative leadership role. In the 90s, it had had some tremendous opportunities to demonstrate leadership in the Design Excellence Program, in internet work, schedules work, and so on. And coming back, it was a time to regroup and lay claim to that role and take that strategic direction forward and build our brand so that our customers could be much more eager to come to us understanding what we could do for them. I think it was a time to reassert ourselves for our customers to have them understand how we could help them. So it was a big moment, a lot happening.
Well, with regard to the Recovery Act, can you talk a little bit about, you know, some of the investments in terms of sustainability and greening those buildings that GSA made over and is continuing to
do, yes,
over the last couple of years?
Well, it was a marvelous opportunity for us to do some much needed investment in our portfolio. We have some 180 million square feet that we manage, and that was a portfolio of buildings that needed some attention with respect to sustainability, in the sense that if you can invest in them a little bit, then you can get a tremendous return on investment within a couple of years. So a lot of our Recovery Act activities were to do everything from take inventory of the building to see what kind of windows they perhaps could use, or how we could upgrade the HVAC. We also were able to get involved in trying out a number of different technologies. You know, we have buildings in every altitude, in every congressional district, in every kind of weather, so we can almost be a proving ground for various green technologies. So we put a variety of solar panels on roofs of various buildings all over the country, things like that. GSA has been in the energy savings business for a long time. Our first green roof was built in 1974. We've been trying out these innovative sort of techniques for years, and it was an opportunity to really take some of them to scale.
Right, it's amazing, the technology out there. I just know, you know, looking at lighting, even for example, and mm-hmm. how that can save energy, and the sophistication that these companies bring to bear in terms of how to you know how much light you actually need based on the sunlight, you know, coming into the room, and it's pretty amazing stuff. Those type of investments do. From your perspective, you know, the return on those over time ultimately benefits the taxpayer.
It's huge. Our inventory is actually 22% more efficient in terms of energy usage than its equivalents in the private sector, because we've been at this since the 70s. So we really already, picked the low-hanging fruit, and it was for us with the recovery money to go to the next steps, really look at the infrastructure of the building and see how we could upgrade it. But we have already learned a lot. We needed to share those lessons. In addition, one of the interesting things we've been doing is working on smart buildings, where you put technology into the building, sensing technologies, so you can figure out what's going on all over the building. A building is, it's as difficult as an airplane or a huge ocean liner to manage. And if you think about it as a big box that is open for business, and every morning at, say, 8 o'clock, 400 or 500 little heaters walk in and walk all over the building.
Right.
And then the interior energy usage just keeps fluctuating all over the place.
Right.
So you need sensors, and you need some, which is relatively low technology. You can kind of figure out who's walked into the room, whether or not the lights should go on, how much the heat will go up and down. But you need a good system so that the whole building is managed. And we've been doing that sort of thing so we can be smarter about managing our buildings and figuring out the next things we can do with them.
Sure. And you also mentioned the fleet.
Yes.
And what you've been doing with the fleet. People may not know, but GSA manages, I think, the largest, other than perhaps DOD, the largest fleet of vehicles in the federal government.
Yes, we have a lot of vehicles. Numbers are something like 220,000 that we manage directly, but we set policy and are involved in supporting some 400,000 vehicles, which gives us the opportunity to figure out how at scale we could be operating that fleet better. With Recovery Act money, we were able to purchase a number of hybrids, and we've also last May been able to make a purchase of some 116 electric vehicles.
Okay.
So that we could begin to figure out what is the best way at scale for the federal government to be engaged with its vehicles. The important thing for GSA in doing that electric car purchase is that when you buy an electric car, you also need a charging station, and GSA has buildings, so we have places to put the charging stations, which means it's the whole system. So you're not just buying an electric vehicle and then saying, oh, gee, I'm on a highway, I need to recharge. There are plenty of federal buildings and places where we could install that infrastructure. So it was a good system for us to get involved with.
Right, and that is the key. I mean, in terms of the electric vehicles, the infrastructure, having that infrastructure so you can charge. Right? Like those 500 people walking in the building you mentioned, well, some of them have driven, right? And they may have those vehicles. They got to plug them in someplace.
Exactly, down in the basement.
And one of the things that GSA made those purchases that I just reflect on is the role when you talk about innovation is sort of driving things. Although, let's say hybrids are out there and are commercially available. But, back in the 80s, one of the things that GSA actually did with its fleet was sort of push the purchase of airbags,
mm-hmm.
those safeties.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a driver of that, making that more accepted,
yes.
moving it to a commercially widely accepted and sort of, so when I saw what you were doing with the fleet, it made sense to me.
Well, it's interesting. One of the things we need to be very careful of, because GSA is a big player, is that we can actually make or move a market by a decision we make. And you can do that just inadvertently, or you can do it intentionally. And because we're so big, we think we need to do it very intentionally. So we need to be careful, and we need to think about how when you make a small decision at GSA, if you were to scale it, it has big impact. So what is the impact we need and want to have, and how can we make those decisions wisely? And that, I think, means that GSA needs to be expert. We need to know what vehicles are all about, how they consume, where they're used, how people can drive them safely, how they can drive them efficiently. And we can we can have a big effect if we help make each small decision well. So that's what we really think about when we're thinking about buying vehicles or investing in hybrids or wiring up a building so we know where the heat's changing.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about the management challenges of the landscape when you came to GSA. I guess what were your thoughts, or what did you see when you started to put together your management team?
Well, I arrived at GSA after a fairly long hiatus between confirmed GSA administrators. So when I came, the organization was so hospitable. I think they were just relieved to have anyone confirmed. And it had been, maybe almost 2 years. And a number of very, very dedicated civil servants had played the role as acting administrator. But it was just a real nice moment to walk in. Everybody was very, very welcoming. It was very clear, though, that we had not been aggressively hiring in many ways because they were waiting for an administrator to come in. So we had a number of leadership spots to fill. And I have to say a huge number of the senior executive service has changed, either changed roles or many have retired, and we've just been in a real changeover moment. And so a great many of the people at GSA have sort of have done change themselves by right. stepping into new roles or coming to GSA. And that's been really terrific. It has been a time of attracting young talent and also some very, very strong expertise. I have been delighted with the people we've been able to recruit, for example, in information technology. It seems like our innovation brand is growing, and we're really able to get some extraordinary capability, and that just makes it a wonderful place to work when you have right. such great colleagues.
Right. Well, you know, when Bob Peck is commissioner of PBS, and
he
Steve
came back,
Kemp,
yes.
and Steve Kemp, commissioner of FAS, that's two good, very good managers.
Yes, I've been delighted to have the people around me that I do. Bob Peck came back after he and I had served together in the Clinton administration, and these jobs are so big and complex. It's really terrific to be able to come back in and already know some of the acronyms and some of the issues, and not have to learn it all from the ground up. Yes, it was a head start.
Right. Well, Martha, right now we have to take a break, but when we return, we'll be talking more to Martha Johnson, administrator, the General Services Administration. We'll talk a little bit about sustainability and where GSA is. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are talking to Martha Johnson, Administrator of General Services Administration. And this segment, we'll talk a little bit about sustainability. I know that's one of Martha's very favorite subjects. And Martha, just talk about, please, where the progress GSA has made in its cross-cutting sustainability efforts.
Sure. Let me just put a little bit of a frame around it. GSA is responsible for supporting all of government, all the federal government, and often state and local government. So we see our customers as the whole swath of government. And our mission is to help them with their mission. In other words, let the education department focus on educating our children, and we will focus on taking care of the education department. So we really see our role, especially in this time when there's a lot of pressures on our customers, as a time in which we are helping them sustain their mission. So sustainability is a rather large word for us in this sense. It's core to our mission in a sense that we are interested in supporting the government so it can be sustained. Inside that, of course, is, we build buildings that should last for 50 to 100 years. So we're certainly hoping that we will have customers that will occupy the buildings in 50 to 100 years. So sustainability is very important for us in the long-range view. That goes then to the fact that we are the suppliers of many products and services to the government, and our concern is that we are helping the government make the best decisions in terms of using its resources. So sustainability has a very huge environmental portion to it, and we were very excited early on to declare an aspirational goal for GSA, which would be a zero environmental footprint. That to us meant that we would do everything we could to be sure that resources that were being consumed by the government were being consumed in absolutely the most responsible way to the highest value end, and wherever possible that we could find ways in which any kind of footprint they generated could be eliminated. And it's kind of it's like a moonshot for us. It just forces us into disciplines, debates, measures, and programs that will very critically watch our resources. At the same time, you know, you can actually say that this is a management ethic. It's how we should operate. It's sort of a no-waste mentality. And when you're in government, you do not want to be wasting taxpayer dollars. So it fits with our stewardship of resources and is kind of our ethic.
Well, along those lines, can you talk a little bit what you think it means for GSA's contractors, your sustainability effort?
Sure. We have many different ways this is unfolding. And one of the ways is, for example, in our leasing, work, we lease a lot of buildings, and, when our, people are writing, the leases, they need to include in those leases various aspects around sustainability, around the energy consumption of the building, around the water, wastewater, treatment process of the building, and so on. So we are developing and deepening our expertise in how to set up the contracts so that our buildings are functioning, continue to function ever better in terms of energy consumption. In contracting, this is a real challenge. The idea that our supply chain is offering our federal customers good product options that are quote-unquote green. And oftentimes this is referred to as greening the supply chain, trying to figure out how we can offer products that have the lowest footprint themselves. This is not easy. The more we get into it, the more we recognize that all of this supply chain management is a real challenge. We've been in discussions with some of the big players in the private sector, Walmart and Office Depot, Home Depot, trying to figure out how we are all thinking about this. But the notion is that we need to be eagle-eyed around where are the products being offered, fulfilling that goal of having the least footprint possible.
Right. And I've heard you speak before, and just to pick up on the Walmart, too. I mean, if Walmart is going green, you know, the biggest, you know, company in America, and in their supply chain and their inventory management, you've said before that it makes good business sense to grow green. Can you talk a little bit about that?
It makes huge business sense to go green because, again, it is at the most raw level, it's about no waste. Let's be sure that every penny that we are investing is going to a good that is it is not creating further costs down the road and is providing the best value. But it is these are strong business cases that are emerging. And the more that GSA can be a player in leaning towards green products, the more those products have viability in the market, the better they are attended to, the more consumption of those products becomes the choice of people. And so we can begin to move the whole market towards buying in a little bit more of a sustainable way. So there are many different angles on this. And it goes all the way from what purchases we make to what disposition we make at the end of the cycle. If you only think of products as in a cradle to grave cycle, then you just dispose of things willy-nilly and you do all kinds of things to pollute the earth. Instead, we need to look at that disposal point, and GSA is responsible for disposal,
right,
to figure out the most responsible way of recycling, reusing, reconstructing, or whatever. So we are really eager to push on that notion, too. And in that sense, for example, we're involved in e-waste conversations, e-waste policies. We are really.
Is that the initiative, you know, with Dell and some of these other companies in terms of what you do with, you know, the old computers. And the screens and that sort of thing?
You know, it's a fascinating problem because computers, the government uses thousands and thousands of computers. By one loose estimate, we dispose of 10,000 computers roughly a week if you just do the big numbers raw.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we send our government computers to a landfill and then they become toxic and, you know, all the kind of international issues emerge as women and children climb all over those big toxic dumps and try to extract the precious metals. Instead, we send our computers off through auction or to schools or to the next use. So what can the government do to be sure that at the end of the usage chain on that computer, it is going to be responsibly disposed? And that is the challenge that we have. We play this in this market, but we play at the front end of the whole product cycle. Not to get too business school-y about it. But so we have engaged with the Council for Environmental Quality at the White House and the EPA in making some recommendations about certified recyclers that our government agency should use as they're disposing of computers, and raising awareness and leaning towards a couple of standards that will help discipline this process. We've got a long way to go, but we're making a good effort. And last summer we announced what those certifications were.
Well, and I know one thing I wanted to ask you about, too, is I know the president made an announcement regarding energy savings, performance-type contracting.
Yes, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and you know, what role is GSA going to play in that effort?
We are really thrilled to be a part of this effort. The Better Buildings Initiative on the part of the administration is about encouraging both business and government to operate its buildings in a way that captures the best use of the energy and the energy usage. One way is through energy savings performance contracts, ESPCs, and this is kind of a term of art. But the Energy Department has certified, I think, of 15, 16 companies that are energy service performance contractors. The notion is that you hire an ESPC as a as a partner, and then they will come in and they will figure out what they can do to the building and save you how much money, and then you enter into a sort of financing agreement where they bring in the money, they make the improvements, and you pay them with the savings you realize. It is as the as both President Clinton and President Obama said last week when they were announcing this, it's a triple win. It's really sort of a free lunch. We both get greater energy efficiency. We build opportunities for jobs, and these arrangements pay for themselves. This is a free lunch, and energy savings are remarkable, and we are engaged in figuring out even more aggressively how we can use these contracts. So the president announced a $4 billion effort. $2 billion will be borne by industry, $2 billion by the government, and clearly since we have many of the buildings, this will and much of this will be in our direction, as well as the DOD and other other organizations that do manage their buildings. But I think we can do some really creative things to milk the energy savings out of our own inventory.
Well, you know, with that, it's a tool that should be in the toolbox for for government, given the budgetary challenge we face of, you know, finding alternative ways to finance these type of projects. I mean, I think it's going to be key going forward. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit when we come back from our next break. But right now, we do have to take a break. When we return, we'll be talking more to Martha Johnson, Administrator of the General Services Administration, and we'll talk a little bit more about the budget, energy savings, and private investments, that sort of thing. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Government year-end is fast approaching. Look to GSA Advantage and the Han Company now and anytime you're challenged with a compressed time frame or to do more but spend less. Now more than 400 of Han's newest and top models are available online and at great manufacturer direct prices. You'll find multi-purpose chairs, smart desk solutions, durable storage cabinets, contemporary conference tables, and more to fit any office need. All meet or exceed government sustainability requirements, too. To shop Han Direct, go to gsaadvantage.gov and type Han's contract number 27F, like furniture, 0015S, like Sam, in the search bar. That's 27F0015S. When you need office furniture, GSA Advantage is a quick, safe way to buy online, and Han lets you stretch your budget without compromising quality or style. Buy Han Direct. Go to gsaadvantage.gov and search contract 27F0015S today.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're talking to Martha Johnson, Administrator of the General Services Administration, and we've been talking about sustainability efforts, investments in infrastructure. And when we took our last break, we were talking a bit about energy savings performance contracts. I think
right.
I got that right. Those acronyms, I just, you know, I just get it all mixed up sometimes, Martha. But, you know, one of the things that you know, we were talking about is in relation to that is the budget and how these innovative mechanisms allow the government to make investments that maybe it may not otherwise be able to do, mm-hmm. given the budgetary challenges. Can you talk a little bit about what you see are, you know, GSA's role, challenges in the current budget environment?
I am happy to talk about that. It is quite a challenge, and I see 2012 as one of the most challenging years for GSA. Because our customers are also challenged. They're challenged in terms of reserving some budget for mission. And because they're being squeezed so much, and this isn't just trimming around the edges, this is really being squeezed. We have, it started in June, we've been experiencing a whole line of customers coming to see us saying, can you help? Which is, of course, terrific for us because, yes, we can and we want to. And I think what we want to do is, and our slogan this year is more for mission. We want to be sure our customers have more for their mission and they are not doing inefficient things in terms of their own sort of functioning that is taking money away from mission. So more for mission is what we're after. And frankly, in a market like this, they need to be paying attention to mission and asking us to do what we can do. So we are happy through our vehicles, through our expertise, through our contracting vehicles, through our expertise, through the various programs we offer around travel, around fleet management, around workspace to try to help them figure out how they can start moving their resources towards mission. So we're very revved up because this is really critical. It's about true sustainability of our clients. And the customers are in a pinch. And I do think that the answers are not, as I heard someone say, it's not a silver bullet answer. It's silver buckshot. And there are many, many different things
that
we can do. Yes. Somebody said it and I wish I could quote the name. At any rate, there are many different things that we can do for agencies, so that they can figure out how to save money here, to put it there, because actually some of these, savings require upfront investment. If you're going to move into smaller space, you have to move and it costs money. You have to reconfigure and you have to, go through the change management and the move. If you are, trying to, make your vehicle fleet more efficient, you're going to have to change out your vehicles in a different cycle and so on. And there's upfront costs to it. So we're trying to figure out how we can help customers get, better positioned so that they can realize savings down the road. But yes, this is our big moment for, delivering to customers more for mission.
Right. And it's, to me, it sort of seems like, I worked at GSA for 20 years. It seems it's almost like back to the future a little bit in that GSA's profile is being raised across government to try to meet mission, and have sustainable government. And to your credit, I do know OFPP and the White House have looked to GSA to implement a lot of these key contracting programs to assist customer agencies. But, you know, whether it's contracting initiatives, can you talk a little bit about, or sustainability initiatives, can you talk a little bit about what you're doing there?
Yes, actually, what's interesting is that GSA originally was much more of a monopoly. We were the mandated source. You had to come to us. We were the company store. And with the Clinger-Cohen Act, that was changed in the 90s. And since then, we have been earning our credentials in our market to be the place that an organization would turn. Organizations, of course, once the monopoly is lifted, they say, gee, let me go do it myself. And right. So there's contracting organizations and there are all sorts of fleets and all sorts of things all over the government, which if consolidated or managed centrally could be much more efficiently done. It is for us to earn our customers' trust that they would turn those responsibilities over to us so that they can pay attention to their mission. And we're in the process of earning that. One of the really terrific examples of that is the Federal Strategic Sourcing Initiative, not to be jargony, FSSI. And that is where we're acting in a way to help facilitate agencies to come together to agree they're going to buy a product in a certain quantity so that we can go out to the market and start cutting a deal at a certain volume. And that means that for everything from office supplies to print management services or to delivery services, we can go and get a better, larger deal for a larger portion of government because we are cooperatively buying for them.
Right. And I think there's one out on the street now, or is it the cell phone?
Yes, wireless. Yeah. We're doing some work on wireless. That's the next one.
Well,
yes.
Have to confess, that's one where part of that challenge, it seems to me, is actually figuring out what you have.
Yes. Are they in the drawer or are they being used?
Right. I mean, employees have, just the way it ends up, people have, you lose track of those things and what people have or don't have. And I think that back end is going to be key to the success of that one.
Yes. Well, we really need to find that, give agencies the opportunity of having access to the best prices, and they will get those if they join up together and we can do the deal, collectively.
Another area where I think cuts across both the idea of sustainability, assisting other agencies and, that higher profile. And I think it's something that in the IT management plan, OMB is sort of looking to GSA, and that's cloud computing.
Oh, yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, I can talk about that. I think the original way to this was the notion that the government, unlike the private sector, is proliferating data centers rather than consolidating them. It's like rabbits are just going up all over the place.
Right?
Well, and we build them, so we have to be careful. But the notion here is, of course, the government is fairly stovepipe. People have their agencies have their own data centers, and they are beginning to be a real expense, not just an environmental overhang, but a real expense. And that's because they're built for the pulse. They're built for the peak use because every organization has its own. So it needs to be able to cover all its needs. And this means there's a lot of idle capacity. So one answer to this, and a very powerful one, is to think about going to the cloud, which is effectively a way of going and using a larger spread of servers that is operated by a private sector entity. And to prove that it is possible to do this and that it's a good option, it's secure, it's versatile, and it works, we went on the cloud ourselves. GSA did in June. We went on the cloud for our email service. And I think it's important for GSA to go first, or early at least, so that other agencies can see that it can be done. And we sort of plowed
sort of
the way.
That's sort of part of you mentioned being an innovative leader,
yes,
right?
Yes, GSA goes first, that sort of notion. And frankly, we should try it out before the whole government tries something out, because the whole government is very large, and if it makes a mistake, it'd be better if we made a smaller mistake and figured it out. And I think we need to do that, because these sorts of things are innovative, and we need to test and try and fail fast and fail fruitfully and keep moving, but help the government get through that without putting too much at risk. So, yes, the cloud is a terrific way for us to find real economies of scale, efficiencies, and to reduce our huge data center footprint. So we're pumping on that front.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of interesting. It's like in the 90s, there were virtual data centers or the procurement that GSA did. This is like 21st century data centers or just-in-time sort of services,
mm-hmm,
to a certain,
mm-hmm,
extent.
Mm-hmm. It's a real utility that we're trying to move towards, a utility world.
But right now, Martha, we do have to take our last break. But when we return, we'll be talking more to Martha Johnson, Administrator of the General Services Administration, and we'll talk more about GSA, some lessons learned that Martha's over her professional career, and a little bit maybe about small business and what GSA is doing to support small business. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Martha Johnson, Administrator of the General Services Administration. And this segment, we'll talk a little bit about small businesses. First of all, Martha, could you talk a little bit about what GSA is up to in the small business contracting world?
Absolutely. Small business is very important to our economy, and it's very important to our government. And we have been working very hard to be sure that we are helping small businesses through this very difficult time, helping get access to the information that they need to make a good decision about whether or not they should try to be doing business with the government. Particularly over the last 6 months, we've been holding business breakthrough sessions, 3-day seminars around the country, in which we're bringing together, I guess now maybe 450 small businesses to hear how to do it. Because small business can sort of sit and say, gee, I want to be a government contractor, but they don't know enough to know if there's a real market there. And they don't know enough yet to make a good decision without really doing some research and some hard work. So we want to be sure that they're making the right decision, because it's not a simple thing to qualify for the schedules. So we're very interested in being supportive, lending expertise. We're also involved in mentor-protege programs, because there's nothing like having a buddy in the process, and especially one that's gone through the system. So we've been pairing up small businesses with more experienced businesses, and I think that has been really significant. I've heard some wonderful stories.
Well, the key, it seems to me, the key just from what I've seen for small businesses, and it sounds like GSA is addressing it, is understanding the market you're getting into,
mm-hmm,
and that means what investments I have to make in, you know, in customer outreach, but also fundamentally compliance,
mm-hmm,
understanding government has unique requirements. And I know the business breakthrough sessions do talk about that, and having, like you said, a buddy, a mentor to help you navigate, you know, the rocks and shoals, I guess, of government contracting is a wonderful thing as well. You know, with regard, and I know one of the biggest and most successful small business contracting programs out there is the GSA schedules,
mm-hmm,
where, you know, approximately one-third of the dollar volume goes to small businesses on an annual basis. Can you talk a little bit about what you see the role of the schedules playing, you know, over the next year or two?
Yes, the schedule program is a very, very special one to us, and we have been working hard over the last couple of years to upgrade and innovate on the schedules without wanting to destroy the core notion, which is a way of sort of vetting companies so that they can do business more easily with our federal customers. The critical issue with the schedules, though, is that getting on the schedules doesn't really secure business for you. It's just a fishing license. It means you now are qualified to go and do business with the federal government, but so there it stops until you go and get some business. And I think for many small businesses, this is very daunting to get on the schedules and then realize that's just a ticket to go to the show. So we want to be really sure that small businesses are thinking this through before they make the plunge and go through all of the work of coming on the schedules. And there is something very important going on. We need to encourage innovative small businesses onto the schedules, not multiples of the same businesses we already have on the schedules. And I say this blankly, but how many stationary companies does a government need? You know, there are a lot of small businesses that traditionally have been in office products, but the whole world of office products has kind of restructured. So we want to be careful that if, there were another 100 small businesses that wanted to come in on and they're all in the office products world, that they really understand the competition they're up against. I want to be sure they are making the best decisions so that we have small businesses that are successful in dealing with the government, not ones that are just coming and filling out the catalog and sitting frustrated. So we are working very hard to be sure it is innovative and the sorts of small businesses that the government needs access to, bringing new ideas to us about how to do everything from sustainability to security and not just more of the same.
Right. Well, the schedules can be, I think you picked up on something here, because the schedules, accessing the commercial marketplace can be a leader in terms of adopting new technologies, mm-hmm. getting them on contract for your customers across the government, and getting those whether it's green technologies or the latest cloud computing type service, whatever comes up. The schedules provide that avenue to tap the commercial marketplace, and I think it's something that that can set that foundation or the platform going forward for the next couple of years for GSA. I'd like to turn a little bit, Martha, to just get your thoughts on where you've been and what you've been doing over your career. And I know you've been in the
my
federal
5-year career.
I wish I could say it was my 5-year career.
Yeah, really.
But in terms of your background, you've been in leadership positions both in the private sector and in the public sector now. And how would you sort of compare the challenges? What are the similarities? What are the differences between that type of career?
Well, I've been very lucky to move between the public and the private sector, and I have to confess that I learned a great deal in both and took it across the road each time. My career started in the automotive industry, and I was right at a point in time when we were learning about how to shift our whole manufacturing sector from a sort of traditional manufacturing process to a just-in-time total quality process. And what was inside that was learning how to be much more efficient, but not necessarily how to do everything faster, but perhaps how to do things differently. So coming into the government, when you're faced with a huge processes, huge organizations that have done work in a traditional way for a long time, I can bring those lessons of how to both think about being more efficient, how to make things more efficient, but also to ask that fundamental question, are we doing the right thing? Are we doing the thing that we need to be doing, or should we change it? So I learned innovation in the private sector, brought it into my roles when I was in the public sector, went back out again and learned it again in the private sector. I also learned a great deal in both about culture change. And I think we completely blow by that because we keep thinking, because we don't know how to do it. We do know how to change out an IT system, and we do know how to change an automotive assembly line, and we do know how to re-gear, but we are not good at re-engineering culture. And I have been privileged in having some good experiences around how to do that, how to bring teams together, how to shift people's perspectives, how to get past all of the anxiety and the risks that everyone gets stopped by, and move forward. All of that, I think, has prepared me for GSA at this point, because we need to be more efficient. We need to be more effective. And we need to help everyone go through a huge culture change, the most significant I think the government has faced in a long time, because the workplace of the government is changing as we are becoming more virtual. So it's a really exciting time, and I'm delighted to be able to bring those lessons across the road, and we'll see where it goes.
Well, it's funny you bring up culture, because even last week I was talking to Judy Marks, who's the CEO of Siemens Government Technologies, and they talked about culture and the importance of culture when they look about at their teaming arrangements of what other companies they're going to work with. Do they share, you know, the same culture, you know, same values sort of thing? And that, I mean, fundamentally, the importance of that to an organization and how it operates and how it can operate more efficiently. I mean, that's a great point. And when you think about what's going on in the challenging times, and this probably is going to be my last question, Martha, but when you think about what we're going through budget-wise and the challenges we face, you have advice for, you know, young folks who are entering public service or looking at their careers and where they're going, and particularly with regard to those folks who are interested in the acquisition profession?
The acquisition profession, oh, thank you for asking this question. The acquisition profession to me is the one that I feel is the least understood and the one most to be respected. When you're an acquisition professional, you need to be a financial expert. You need to be a legal expert. You need to be able to do negotiations. You need to be able to think about business. And you also need to be able to think about all the rules of government. I mean, it covers everything. And so acquisition professionals are our, they're our quiet muscle. They are the backbone of this. I'm mixing metaphors, but they are the real backbone of the government. And their responsibilities are huge because they are the stewards of our resources. I think acquisition is a fascinating world to get into. It's one in which you see all kinds of little projects going on. You might be doing leasing. You might be working in commodities. You might be struggling with the notion of services. And so there's a huge arena for you to play in. And if you're good at negotiating and you like to get facts straight and you really like to get into the game, it gives you skills for life as well as for your profession. I have huge respect for acquisition professionals. I try to fake it, but boy, they are way ahead of me.
Well, Martha, I came out of law school, you know, government contracting, I never thought about it, but when I got into it, I came to love it because, and procurement, just for the reasons you said, but also because it touches everything the government does.
Mm-hmm. Every single corner.
Everywhere, GSA, for example, touches every agency and every mission. You contribute to that if you're in the acquisition profession, and it was always rewarding for me, and I hope there's young folks out there who find it rewarding as well. And Martha, this is a rewarding hour show. It was great to have you on. I really appreciate it. And I want to thank Martha Johnson, Administrator of the General Services Administration, for joining me today. I'm Roger Waldron, and this is Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition of Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, Tuesday mornings at 10:30 only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.